times.
Welcome to Subtle Beast, everybody. I am your host, Foltz, sitting here with none other than Mr. Steve Apostolopoulos. Steve, how are you tonight?
I am fantastic. What's up, everybody?
Glad to hear it. Glad to hear it. Here we are again in what we like to call home, our sacred place, our studio, getting ready to put out a podcast and share a lot of good things with you guys tonight. But like always, before we get started, Steve, how's your week been?
Oh, this is a weird one.
Okay, I'm ready.
I love listening to the podcast back, and I love listening to your take on the weather. So I don't even want to discuss the blizzard.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So we won't talk about how we got pummeled this week with what? A foot and a half of snow.
Oh my gosh! I didn't even know what was.
I think for down here and where the studio is, it's about 18 inches, if 18 inches plus. I think.
Yeah, I have some crazy pictures of the table in our backyard, and it was so much.
Yeah, I mean, it was. I have to give credit to the weatherman, because I mean he was just confident. It's coming. I remember the day of, and I saw a couple things on social media. People were like, "We're not going to get any snow," and I was thinking, "Oh, from your mouth to God's ears," because everyone knows how I feel about the cold. But that evening, my wife got home from work, and we were watching the news, and the weatherman was like, "The storm just left Chicago. They got hit hard, and we're going to get hit worse." I'm just remembering, oh. School was canceled the night before.
Right.
And 2 days in a row. Then the third day was a 2-hour delay. I mean, it was bitter cold and the wind was just too much.
This particular storm being forecasted the way that it was saved so many lives, saved so much in assets, saved so much money because PennDOT was able to get out in front of it, because the governments were able to brace for it. This storm makes up for at least the last 6 months of the weatherman messing up.
Oh, definitely. I mean, nobody is going to even say anything about anything that the guy or gal missed, because they were dead on. They said we were going to get crushed. We did. It was in the top four blizzards for the month of March.
Wow.
In our history. Yeah, I think it was tied for fourth.
With 93, I heard 93, yeah, getting thrown around.
Yeah, 93 was a big one. I think 96 as well. I think that's when the bridge.
Oh yeah.
Came down because of all the snow and ice. But so we got the storm. The snow doesn't seem to be going anywhere for a while, because it's still going to remain to be cold. And so I guess we're just going to have to deal with it. So
there was a run of podcasts in a row where I love listening to you talk about it. You're like, I cannot believe this warm weather.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, we got a little bit of snow, I think it was like a week or two ago, and the day before it was 60 degrees, and the next day it snowed, and it's just unbelievable. I mean, the weather is just, it's just crazy.
It's up and down. At the beginning of the year, they said it was La Nina, the effect caused by a temperature of the Pacific Ocean coming across the
right.
America. It has made for one heck of a season.
Yeah, I mean, and I know that my kids were enjoying. My daughters, I don't know how, but they were out sledding both days that they were off school for hours upon hours. My boys went out. They made a fortune shoveling. I mean, they didn't even have to go up to people's doors. People were outside, I guess, getting ready to shovel and saw them and were like, "Hey, want to make some money?"
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they came home and they're like, look at this. I was like, whoa, don't you owe me $20?
Yeah, don't you owe me money?
So, yeah, so I guess, you know, for the kids, it was good. I mean, I liked that the schools were closed, you know, and having a snow day, having everybody home. But unfortunately, now they lost like 2 days on Easter vacation. So,
oh, that's tough.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
It's better than at the end of the year, though.
It is. But, you know, what are you going to do? Yeah, because if it's tacked on at the end of the year, I mean, we have a vacation planned for the second the kids get off school. We're heading out of town. So, I mean, the cars are going to be packed. They're going to get off the buses, and we're outie. But
I think we did that 2 years ago. I remember the kids getting off school, and we went to the beach right away.
Yep, that's what we're going to be doing. So
great way to start off the summer.
Absolutely, I'm loving it. So yeah, I mean, other than the snow, I mean, everything is fine with me. I'm enjoying myself and just having a fun time doing a podcast tonight, being in the studio.
Yes, things have changed. The time changed.
Yeah. Spring forward. We lost that hour of sleep. That hurt me for a couple days, actually.
It did make it weird. It made it for a weird Sunday morning. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Typically, I'll wake up on a Sunday and I'll look at the clock and I'll be like, ah, okay, it's time to get up. You got enough sleep. But when we pushed that hour forward, I saw it and I was like, oh, man. Because when you fall back, it's kind of like, oh, okay, well, I didn't fix the clock beside my bed. It's not, you know, linked to the satellites like everything else. But, yeah, that Sunday I looked at it, I was like, oh, man, it's actually an hour later. I was like, I can't do it. I'm staying in bed.
Nice.
I don't know why I feel guilty sometimes. Look at the clock and be like, you know, you should probably get up. And then I'll come down and I'll talk to my wife. I'm like, ah, I'm tired. She'll be like, why'd you get up? I'm like, it was getting late. And she was like, so what? We're not doing anything. And I'm just like, I know. I should get up, but. Whatever.
You don't have to feel guilty for that.
I know. I shouldn't. I mean, I love to sleep. I mean, it's just one of my favorite hobbies.
My wife noted. So I turned the clock back on Saturday night. Forward.
Right.
Spring ahead. So it was about 6:45. And I changed the clock. And she saw it at 8:03 and looked at it like,
this can't be right.
She was like, did you change the clock already? And I said, yeah. And she said, man, that was so weird. And I was like, well, I wanted us to get used to it. That way when we wake up, you know, it won't
right.
be.
Right. Yeah, we did ours pretty early as well.
It won't be strange to us. It didn't work. We still slept late.
Right.
I got up. I made bacon and eggs, nice omelet with some mushrooms.
I saw that breakfast. That looked good.
It tasted even better, man. I was so happy with the way that breakfast turned out. And then I went back into the bedroom and grabbed my phone. And I wasn't done cleaning up the dishes and everything till like 11:40 a.m. And there was a message from my parents that it was like 36 minutes old. And it said, hey, would you like some company today?
Right.
So I immediately called them back and said, hey, I'm sorry I missed your call. I hope that you weren't, you know, halfway here or out traveling and decided to turn around and go home. I'd love to have you up here. You know, I'd love for Jackson to see you guys.
Right.
And they said, we'll hop in the car right now and we'll be up there in 45, 50 minutes.
They were ready for a Sunday drive. Come spend some time with the fam.
So the next thing you know, and we had already, you know, we cleaned on Saturday. We were finishing up some laundry on Sunday morning. We just tied everything together before they got there. And it's like 12:30 in the morning. And, well, you know, 12:30 p.m.
Right.
And my parents are there. Jackson's running through the house having a great time. I have nothing to do. Like, all my chores were done.
You got to love that.
I somehow got ahead on a Sunday. That never happens.
Maybe it's like a spell that happens when you put your clocks forward early in the evening.
I'm
next
doing
day
that
is
from
gonna,
now on, yeah.
You're going to be productive.
I might turn them ahead again.
Do it. You'd be early for everything.
My wife would be like, wait, did you change the clocks again this weekend?
Well, I can remember before, you know, like cell phones and, you know, everything was satellite. On that first day, on that Sunday, we used to go to Sunday school and like half the class would be missing. Everyone either forgot to do it or didn't do it. And now you really have no excuse. I mean, my truck even does it. I don't even got to adjust that. It's just like, wow.
Yeah, I did.
I used to leave my cars alone because I was like, oh, gosh, I don't even know how to do this. I'm just going to, next year it'll be right.
I don't think I did the Honda yet. I don't think I've been in the Honda yet.
But so that didn't switch automatically.
No, I changed the Equinox, and then all the, I changed the one clock on the stove, and then everything else changes.
I love it.
It is cool.
It's simple. I mean, well, gosh, everything's so technical now. I mean, my truck has Wi-Fi for Pete's sake. So
right, everything's connected now.
But so yeah, I mean, we gotta. Well, I don't want to say we gotta, but some people may be having a big weekend this weekend.
Right. There's
a big holiday coming up.
There is a one common thread between all of us, and that is that St. Patrick's Day is this weekend.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody.
Happy St. Patrick's Day on a Friday.
Yeah. If you're somebody that wants to go out and wet your whistle on St. Patty's Day with some beverages, you're in luck, because this, you get off work, I'm sure there's a happy hour with your name on it.
I'm sure there is, and you know, this podcast will drop on before St. Patrick's Day, probably minutes before the actual day begins. So for those of you that listen to it throughout the night or first thing in the morning, you should probably call off work tomorrow.
Yeah, do
and
that.
Spend the day drinking.
Yeah.
Drinking. To celebrate.
Hey. Especially if you have if you're of Irish descent. You owe yourself, and you owe it to the family, to stay home.
Right. I mean, you would be disappointing your entire nationality if some point during the day you didn't get blackout drunk.
Call in and tell your boss that Subtlebee said, I'm taking off today.
Call in and call off Irish.
Yeah, call off Irish, and you can blame it on us. But if you do take this advice... party responsibly, grab yourself an Uber on the way home. You can get your car on Saturday. Come on.
Yeah, that's one thing you can't party stupid.
Nah. So go out, laugh, drink, have a ball, and have somebody else take you home and then pour you into the front door.
Yeah, at some point in time, eat some bangers and mash.
There you go.
And get yourself back into the realm of reality. But until then, man, pound some green beers.
Yeah, you know what's crazy is there are some bars that are opening at like 7 a.m. tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah, downtown in the city of Harrisburg, there's bars that are having, it's either kegs and eggs. And you go in there and you have breakfast and you immediately start drinking. If I was at Kegs and Eggs at 7 a.m., by 7:45, I'd be in bed again.
Yeah, I guess you would have to drink in waves or... like a cyclical, like you couldn't just continually drink from 7 in the morning until 2 a.m. when the bars close.
Yeah, I mean, maybe in my heyday I could have, but you know what? I was never a fan of drinking during the day. Even in my prime of partying in my early 20s, I didn't even like going out to, friends would say, hey, let's go catch the first game on Sunday, the NFL. I didn't like it because, oh man, by like 5 o'clock, if I went home at like 5 or 6 o'clock, I was worthless because I would just go to bed and then wake up Monday morning for work. I was never a fan of the day drinking because my night was shot.
I concur. And some of my experiences from golfing, you golf, you drink a lot, and it takes forever. It's a 5-hour event. So you're just pounding a 12-pack of Bud
Light. In the heat, no less.
Right. And then you get done, and first of all, you should probably call an Uber, but most people don't.
Right, because they're like, it's daytime.
Right, they're like, yeah, it's daylight. I only got a little bit to go. Then you get home, and you feel like crap.
Yeah, you do. And it's just like, then you feel just like, man, I'm worthless. I don't want to do anything but go to bed. Hopefully you didn't have plans with the family because daddy's down for the count. But
that's not going to happen to you tomorrow.
No.
No. What's going to happen is you're going to drink
all day. You're going to be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. You're going to get out of bed, get yourself a cup of coffee, grab your phone, call off.
Put some Bailey's Irish Cream in it.
Yeah, there you go. Get a little liquid courage for when you call off. You know what's even better? And I used to do this back when I was in corporate America. I would call the office at like 2 a.m., 3 a.m., because I knew no one was going to answer, and it'd just go to my supervisor's desk, and I would just leave a message. I'm sorry. I'm not going to be in tomorrow. I'm not feeling well. Then I'd have to talk. No one could say no.
Right.
And it wasn't like they were going to call me back, like, no, you're coming in, because Lord knows I wouldn't answer the phone, but there's a little tip. Call when you know no one's going to be there, and you can just leave a message.
Leave it drunk.
Start tonight.
Right.
I mean, here on the East Coast, it's about 10 o'clock, so I mean, we only got about 2 hours to St. Patrick's Day.
Wow, I didn't know it was that close.
It is close. So, you know, granted, we are talking about going out and living it up and calling off work and this, that, and the other thing. But, you know, everybody celebrates St. Patrick's Day in their own way. Steve, why is St. Patrick's Day special to you?
Oh, man. St. Patrick's Day, specifically to me, is special because it's the night that I met my wife.
Oh, well, that can't be topped, I don't think.
I can't believe that it's true.
Right.
Everybody has, you know, that story of where they met, and ours was at Kyolta's on St. Patrick's Day, and from that point forward, it has been awesome.
That's awesome. So basically, before Subtle Beast, you were taking Subtle Beast's advice, and you were out there living it up.
I was.
Having some fun.
With my boys. I had a crew.
And before you know it, you're meeting the love of your life.
My crew got with her crew, and we had taken pictures, and there is tons of photographic evidence of that evening, and I'll throw up a picture on our comments section on our Facebook after we post.
Oh,
this.
definitely. We'll see
of us the very first night we were together.
See if you look a lot younger.
Oh, I'm sure I do. That feels like 100 years ago.
Right. Well, now you know you have kids and everything. Well, that'll just age you dramatically.
Yeah, that makes you feel very bonded to somebody.
So you meet your wife on St. Patrick's Day. The luck of the Irish was with you.
It was.
The luck of the Irish was with the Greek dog that night.
Yep, we had that was a fun party.
And meet your wife, and you guys have been inseparable ever since. That's fantastic.
It's true. We have been inseparable ever since then.
That's great.
What about yourself, man? What specialness is St. Patrick's Day for
you? Well, St. Patrick's Day for me and mine, it goes back a long way. When I was a kid, St. Patrick's Day always meant to us that when my dad got home from work, we were going to go out and we were going to hunt for leprechauns.
Ooh.
Yeah, that was something that we always did. And so we would go out, and right before it would get dark, and my dad would have we'd have a bunch of like brown bags that you would take your lunch in. And we would be looking around like the woods and all the different nooks and crannies where the leprechauns could hide. And my dad just had a key eye to be able to find them. And I mean, sometimes he would be doing some crazy dives. But lo and behold, as the night came to a close, he would find a leprechaun for myself and my brother and my sister. And once he knew the leprechaun was in there, he would twist the bag shut really tight, and we always had to keep it up high so that the dog couldn't get it. And what we would do then, when we would go to bed, my dad, without looking in the bag, because if you looked in the bag, as the legend says, that the leprechaun will turn to stone, and then you're not going to get left any treat for letting the leprechaun go. Because, you know, you can continue to have this fun with them on St. Patrick's Day as long as you, at the end of the night, you release them. So my dad would open the bag a little bit, and then we would all go to bed. And when we would wake up in the morning, maybe there was some mischief done in the kitchen or the family room done by the leprechauns. You know, just some trickery, nothing like bad or anything. And then there would always be a dollar left over inside of our bags. The leprechaun left us for the good sport. And so that carries on to this day into my family with my children. So they know that on St. Patrick's Day, we're going to be, when they get home from school or if it's on the weekend, we're going to wait till it gets a little dark, and we're going to go out there and we're going to catch leprechauns. I mean, it seems, the kids do have fun, and, you know, they do try and help out. It seems like the adults that have experienced it the longest and have been doing it the longest have the keyest eye, because you got to know what to look for and this and that. But it's always a good tradition in our family, and I like it, and I hope it continues to stay in our family for a long, long time.
I love your tradition, man.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So, you know what's crazy, though, is with this St. Patrick's Day, there's a lot of snow out there.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe it'll be easier. Maybe we can follow the tracks of the leprechauns. So I don't know. I'm gonna have to be on my game tomorrow and spend a lot of the day. I won't be calling off and heading out drinking and Ubers and stuff like that.
Why is that? Because you're 40 and an adult.
Well, yeah.
Children.
Well, that and I got a lot of research to do. I gotta get these old muscles and bones ready to go out there and catch some leprechauns tomorrow.
Well, you know, I've hunted with you plenty of times, and you do have a very keen eye for the wildlife. So I would think that if anyone out there was going to catch a leprechaun tomorrow, it would be you.
I appreciate that. And, you know, if there's any networks out there that want to give my family a reality show, The Leprechaun Hunter.
There you go.
I mean, come on. We're talking about big things. So, you know, we talked a little bit about why it's special to us. Why don't we stick with this and let's talk a little bit about St. Patrick's Day, you know, talk about the Irish, and talk about some things that maybe people don't even really know why this is the way that it is.
Right. I think that St. Patrick's Day, from face value, could be people dressing in green and drinking, but there's actually, like an onion, you peel the layers back and there's much, much more to St. Patrick's Day than just that.
Well, give us something. Give us a little tidbit that maybe we're like, really? That's why that happened?
Well, I can tell you this. St. Patrick's color is blue. It wasn't even green.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Right. St. Patrick himself would have to deal with pinching on his feast day. His color was St. Patrick's blue, a light shade.
Okay.
The color green only became associated with the big day after it was linked to the Irish independence movement in the late 18th century. So maybe we should all be wearing blue.
I think so. But one thing I did know about, I didn't know that it was the color blue, but one of the things that I had heard was that the reason that people wear green was if you wore green on St. Patrick's Day, you were invisible to the leprechaun.
Oh.
And if you didn't have green, like you said about St. Patrick's pinch, that you would get pinched by them. But if you wore green, you blended right in and you didn't have any issues with being pinched that day.
I love it. So give us a little fact from your...
Well, of course. I mean, with St. Patrick's Day and the Irish, you're always going to hear the old luck of the Irish.
And, right. I've heard that a million times.
Yeah. And I, before tonight's show, I was thinking to myself, you know, everyone's always saying the luck of the Irish. I wanted to know where that came from. So I did a little research, and this is what I came up with. According to a gentleman named Edward O'Donnell, he was a professor of history at the Holy Cross College. The term does not have Irish origin. It's actually an American term. Now, during the gold rush and the silver rush in the 19th century, most miners were Irish or Irish-American born. The Irish were known for their mining fortunes, so I guess they found all the treasures in the mining more than any other ethnicity. And that led to the expression, the luck of the Irish, but it was never said with any type of joy or happiness. It was pretty much said, like, condescendingly, like, the luck of the Irish.
Like, if you weren't Irish and you looked over and there's an Irish guy and he just, like, hit it big on the mind.
Yeah.
You'd say, like, luck of the Irish.
Yep, but
you wouldn't say
it like that.
Right. You wouldn't be Irish, though.
Right. You could be, you know, could have been an Italian eating a sub. The luck of the Irish.
You could have been like, Das Vidania, luck of the Irish.
Exactly. And then, you know, they looked at you and then I'm rich and you're not.
And that made you despise them even more.
Exactly. And then probably everyone quit the mine, so that's why they kept getting all the fortunes, because it was only the Irish left.
That's great. In some of the research that I had looked at, there is a fact about the Irish in the U.S. compared to the Irish in Ireland.
Okay, let's hear this.
There are more Irish in the USA than in Ireland.
Whoa.
Sort of.
Okay. Break it down.
An estimated 34 million Americans have Irish ancestry. Some are pure blood Irish, meaning they or their parents came from Ireland, but many more have mixed ancestry today. By contrast, there are 4.2 million people living in Ireland.
Okay. Pure Irish.
So they scattered, and now there's a lot. There's 34 million Americans that have Irish. So that technically, pure Irish from Ireland, there's only 4.2 million. But here in America, there's 34 million people that say that they are Irish.
Right, like the Mutts. Like, everyone's got mixed this, that, and the other thing.
Right.
It'd be crazy, though, if there was, like, just pure Irish more here than in Ireland.
That would be weird.
So when I was talking about the luck of the Irish and, you know, that being an American term, what's funny is that the actual word luck isn't even Irish. It's actually a Dutch word. And it came from the shortening of the word. Now, this is how it's pronounced. Now, it's spelled G-H-E-L-U-C, but it's pronounced, "Hey, Luke." So,
say it again.
"Hey, Luke."
I love it.
Meaning fortunate. So
lucky.
Yeah. But I guess you don't want to use the word in the definition. But
yeah, lucky means to be lucky.
But the actually, where the word came from was taking off the "hey" in Luton. So they stuck with Luke, and then it got shortened to luck.
And Americanized.
Yeah, good luck, Luke. So, hey, Luke.
I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah, so I'm sure you got some more goodies for us.
Well, the New York City's St. Patrick's Day Parade is one of the world's largest parades since 1762.
Wow.
250,000 marchers have traipsed up Fifth Avenue on foot, and the parade still does not allow floats, cars, or anything other modern.
Well, I guess, I mean, that would be right that New York City would have the biggest parade, because I guess during, you know, when our ancestors were immigrating, everyone came through Ellis Island. So the Irish obviously settled there. And but I heard I was watching a program on TV today, and somebody was talking about their great grandfather. And when the Irish descendants first came here, I mean, obviously they came through Ellis Island, but they ended up being out in, I think it was Wyoming or, no, Wisconsin. And his family settled there because his great-grandfather, when he got to Wisconsin, was looking at all the rolling hills and the lush greenery and everything. And he literally said out loud, "This looks like Ireland." And that's why his family decided to settle there.
That's cool.
Yeah. So I mean, he wanted a little taste from home, so that's why they stayed there.
It reminded him of the motherland.
Yes, it did. But that New York City parade since the 1760s, I mean, gosh, there's not too much that has lasted that long ever for anything in that parade going strong.
No, if 1776 was the signing of the Declaration of Independence,
right.
Then the parade is older than America.
Whoa, way to put it in perspective.
that's a good parade.
That is. Let's see. Let's see what else we can come up with. I know that not only New York City likes to do it up big, but Chi-Town likes to do it up big too.
Oh, Chicago. Yeah, they do their thing.
Yeah, they take a lot of dye. I don't know. Did you have the stats on how much dye was put into the river?
I did, man. Chicago uses 40 tons of dye.
Whoa.
To get the river to a suitably festive shade.
Wow, 40 tons of green dye into the river. And the one stat that I have written down is, even with all that, it stays green for 5 hours.
40 tons.
Yeah.
5 hours.
I wonder did it say, like, what time? Because, I mean, for everyone to be able to get a good look at it, I wonder if there's, like, a peak time. Okay, we're doing it now. We only have 5 hours before this green water's gone.
Yeah, you would have to think that everybody would probably pregame pretty hard before they dump 40 tons of dye into the river.
That would be, what's the delivery system? Just big trucks or what?
And then as soon as it hits, there has to be a massive celebration.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's got to somehow peak and kind of trail off by the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be, I mean, it's amazing that they can get it all, the whole river to turn green. Because, I mean, as soon as you're pouring it in.
It's getting wished
away. Yeah, oh, it's going out to the ocean.
Right.
So, yeah, wow. That's why I'd be interested. I'm going to have to look up what the delivery system is, because it's got to be done pretty quickly.
Personally, I think it's great.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I wish they did it around here.
I hope they keep doing it.
Definitely. Oh, I'm sure they will. I mean, gosh, that's... I've always remembered, as long as I've been alive, the Chicago, I would always see it on the news. And yeah, that's definitely great. We should try and talk to someone around here and try and get the Susquehanna to turn green, because that would be amazing.
I would love to see the logistics behind it.
Absolutely.
You're right. The delivery system, just to see how it all works.
I would think that it's got to be like multiple trucks at one time, and then they're just relieve the valve.
Is it a dry? Like, is it a pellet? Or a bunch of pellets, or
that's a good point too. Because I guess if it was liquid, it would just get whisked away really quickly.
Right, for it to be 5 hours, you would think maybe like big blocks of something that was gonna be water soluble.
Remember when we were kids and you would go to the dentist and they would give you those like red little pills and you would chew them up and eat them, and then you would look in the mirror and show your teeth, and if you still had red spots, that's where you didn't brush.
I do remember those things. I hated.
Maybe that's something like that, but like in a larger scale.
You know, if I never think about those things again, it would be too soon.
Nothing was worse than when they would come around on fluoride day.
Oh,
it would just be the worst like minute. And I swear that the dental hygienist at the school just loved to see the kids in misery. Like, okay, for a minute, keep swishing this. It was just god awful. I don't think that back in the 80s they had good flavoring for anything.
No, because remember the bubblegum flavored amoxicillin for your ears?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm sure that you could take it for anything.
Yeah.
It was for my ears.
Yeah, but that's what you'd get it mostly for as a kid, is for like earaches and such.
Right. And I would get it and I'd be like, oh my God, this bubblegum flavor is horrible.
And Robitussin.
The only thing that was worse was grape.
Oh, grape in any flavor, pretty much.
Ugh.
No thanks. But you know what's funny is we're talking about the river, talking about the big parades and everyone celebrating with all their different types of libations. Did you know that it was only till actually recent that St. Patrick's Day was considered a dry holiday?
And we were just discussing the holiday predating America.
Right.
And it wasn't until, 7 years before I was born?
1970. Before 1970, no one was out hitting it up at the bars and partying to the break of dawn.
It was considered a religious holiday.
Right. And, it makes sense. I mean, you look at it, St. Patrick's Day. I mean, he was a priest.
Something doesn't add up with that one.
But, I mean, I
have to reach out to the audience on this one. I got to phone a friend. Audience members, somebody that remembers before 1970.
Yeah. If you
remember the 60s.
Yeah. if you weren't at Woodstock and you remember the 60s, why? I mean, nobody was out being like, okay, let's go get a green beer.
Right. Did this commercialization of the holiday occur truly in 1970?
Yeah, I mean, it just sounds strange to me that people were just like, well, we're gonna go to our church today, or we're gonna go to mass, and we're just gonna celebrate St. Patrick and all the wonderful things he did. And I wonder if when you were at church, since it was a dry holiday, I mean, me being Catholic, you'd always go up for communion, and then you would get the precious blood and the wine. I wonder if they're like, no wine today.
Sorry about your luck. Hope you repent.
I'm calling out. Now I'm phoning a friend. Can anyone remember going to church and just celebrating since it was dry in the 60s? Well, heck, all the way up to 1960, up until March 16th, 1969, March 16th, 1970, that St. Patrick's Day.
Man, that summer of love changed everything.
It sure did. It would be so different now. I mean, I guess it wouldn't be a bad thing, But I guess if you're, you know, just turning 21 and everything, and everyone St. Patrick's Day is big. I can't really recall having big St. Pat. I mean, as much as I used to like to go out, maybe that's the problem. I don't recall any St. Patrick's Day, big St. Patrick's Day celebrations.
I remember every one of them.
Sounds brutal.
Yes, it was. You'd get there, and it would be daylight, and at some point, you'd pin your address onto your shirt with a $20 bill and hope you got home.
Right, and sometimes you didn't.
Those were awesome nights.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure I did it, and maybe I did it so correct that that's why I can't recall. But I
actually, you know, I could probably go back and think through my memory bank and see if I remember seeing you out.
Yeah, hey.
I might have seen you on a St. Patrick's Day.
Anybody that knows us, do you ever recall seeing us out on St. Patrick's Day? And if so,
we were probably at Appalachian Brewery.
Probably.
We're probably seeing probably, a show.
Or the Midtown Tavern downtown.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? That's probably mentioning the Midtown. I do recall being down there because I remember having a green beer, and I remember thinking to myself, goes in green. Going to come out green? Because, I mean, dyes can be pretty strong.
They can be, man. Sometimes when you drink a Powerade, it stays with you.
Oh, definitely. And asparagus. Jeez.
Speaking of asparagus.
Oh, yeah?
Did you know that there is no corn in corned beef?
I did know that.
Did you? I did not know that. When I saw that, it struck me as so weird. Corned beef and cabbage, a traditional St. Patrick's Day staple, doesn't have anything to do with the grain corn. Instead, it's a nod to the large grains of salt that were historically used to cure meats, which are also known as corns.
Well, I didn't know why it was called that. I just knew that there was no corn. My family, on St. Patrick's Day, we always had corned beef and cabbage. And as a matter of fact, I have corned beef up in my fridge right now that I am going to be putting in on slow and low tomorrow, cooking it all day. And, oh, it's just so good. That salt on it. If you could cook it right in the outer ends, just get crispy, and it's just so good. But sticking with that, what corned beef and cabbage is just another Americanization of the Irish holiday.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. If you were to go to Ireland and be like, okay, we're going to, or if someone from Ireland came over and said, okay, well, you guys are going to enjoy this. You're going to know this dinner and put down corned beef and cabbage in front of them. They'd be like, ah, why are we having this in my honor? And as a matter of fact, there was a movie that Brad Pitt was in, and I believe he was in it with Harrison Ford. It was called The Devil's Own, and I believe Brad Pitt was part of the IRA, and he was hiding out in somebody's house, and I think they knew, you know, why he was hiding, because he was in criminal activity, and so they brought him some food, and they're like, well, you know, you'll really enjoy this. This will remind you of home, and they gave him corned beef and cabbage, and he just looked in the bowl, and he was like, what's this? Like, corned beef and cabbage. And he was like, well, what's that? Why are you giving that to me? And that was the first place that I was like, oh, whoa. So, yeah, they don't know what that is. So, it's pretty interesting. Don't you just love how Americans just grab everything? But this is the way it's going to be.
And we make everything ours.
Yep.
And what's worse is the rhetoric and how it returns back. Like, now, over in Ireland, I'm sure they're like, yep, corned beef and cabbage. That's, I guess, our thing to do today.
Yeah, because the Americans say we should.
Right.
But so like if you were to go over to Ireland, I mean, some of their staples are like what they actually eat is something called black pudding, which is just a blood sausage made from cooked pig's blood, pork fat, pork rind, pork shoulder, pork liver, oats, onion rusk, and yeah.
I don't want
and
that,
and it's made into a patty. I'm looking at a picture of it right now. No offense to the Irish, but I'm going to have myself a hamburger.
I don't want that.
I don't either. Let's see.
Pig's blood.
Yeah. I don't know. Here's something. The top foods to try in Ireland. Soda bread. That doesn't sound too bad.
I don't even know what that is, though.
They're saying that you should try their shellfish.
Fish and chips?
No, British? Irish stew, something called Colcannon and Chomp. Potatoes transformed the Irish diet. When the potato harvests were hit, they became a big staple. Potatoes are still the staple. Colcannon is a classic comforting mash of potatoes, cabbage or kale, and butter or cream flavored with scallions. Doesn't sound too bad.
That one, yeah. You know, I do love potatoes. We eat so many potatoes in my house.
I made homemade French fries tonight, and they were banging.
That sounds banging.
Irish salmon and smoked salmon. That sounds pretty good. No, so we talked about the black pudding. There's one called white pudding. Let me see. Black pudding, blah, blah, blah. White pudding is everything that I mentioned in black pudding minus the blood.
You're getting closer.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not saying that you have me on white pudding,
yeah,
but it's way closer than black pudding.
Yep. And then we have the Barm Brack. Enthusiasts. Get this. Enthusiasts make this fruity tea loaf all year round, serving it in smothered butter with a nice cup of tea in the afternoon. It's at Halloween, however, that you would find a charm in your slice, foretelling the future, be it a rag for a bad luck or poverty, a ring to be wed within a year,
or a baby.
Yep, but that's probably more from what's the culture in Louisiana? Because that was the baby thing. That was, I don't know.
Hold on, I got it.
French,
right?
So, or you get a pea. And the P is to try and avoid tying the knot within a year. So if you get a ring, you're getting married. You get a P, you're not getting married. There's probably like sisters out there that are just like, I got the ring, I got the P. Then a fight breaks out and all you see is like dust.
There's probably dudes like 50-50 like, yeah, I got a ring. Hey, you know, it's bound to happen sometime.
Yeah.
the other brother's like, I got the P.
Like, man, have fun with that. I'm going out to the pub. So Irish cuisine. I don't know that Irish is known for their cuisine. Steve made a statement one time at a bar.
Oh man.
At an Irish bar, saying that the
immediately regretted that statement.
To the proprietor of the establishment.
Well, you know, Irish aren't known for their food.
If looks could kill, Steve would be dead right now.
Yeah, that guy wasn't real happy with me.
He'll be all right. What else do we got?
Speaking of bars, the world runs up quite a bar tab on St. Patrick's Day. Why don't you tell them about it?
Well, from what I know, just based on beer sales alone in the world, now correct me if I'm wrong, $285 million?
Just spent on beer. That is amazing.
That is incredible.
Yeah, that is so, because
I mean,
much
if you
money.
Think about the specials that are going on, there's probably dollar drafts.
Yeah, you go to anywhere and get a dollar drink.
Yeah, $285 million just in beer. So imagine what the grand total would be, because people are just doing shots of, you know, Jameson and you know, just drinking all kinds of whiskey,
and then paying.
Paying, you know, and leaving
the $8,000 DUI for the ride home.
Oh yeah, yeah. It'd be great to see the grand total of everything that's spent from your bar tab to your DUI charge to wrecking your vehicle.
Right, the new bumper.
Yeah, all that. Oh,
it'd be in the billions.
It would be. I'm glad they stuck with just the beer total.
Yeah.
That keeps it friendly and lighthearted.
Yeah, very family friendly.
Let's see what else we got. I came across something funny when I was looking through it. So if you're not big into to going out and tearing up the town, you just want to keep it lighthearted at home with your drinks and you know, just have your buddies over, or you know, have a couples night. There's a game that you can play. Now this game, it takes place with it, well, you would have to start off by renting, or if you have this movie, it's a Disney movie called The Luck of the Irish. And I'm sure it's a sweet movie provided to us by the Disney Channel. But this this particular game doesn't sound too sweet. Now, if you look at the cover of the movie, there's a boy standing there. He's dressed in a basketball outfit. Now, I haven't seen this movie, so I can't really say. But he's dressed in a basketball outfit, and then there's a leprechaun standing beside him dressed in a basketball uniform. But I'm just going to run down what it tells you to do, drinking-wise, watching this movie. And just because you didn't go out to the bar, you're still going to need a designated driver leaving there. Here's one. If someone speaks in a terrible Irish accent, you drink.
Drink.
If someone jokes about how short someone is in this movie, you drink.
Drink.
There's a character named Kyle, and if he makes this face...
Whoa. How many times did he do that in the movie?
He must do it a lot. Kyle was... he's known for making that face.
That's the face.
You drink. if people start dancing for seemingly no reason, you drink. Yeah, you know, the Disney Channel's known for that. You know, they had the High School Musical. Everyone just, hey, we're having a pep rally today, and everyone breaks out into song and dance, and everyone knows the song and the dance.
Yes, I do.
You drink.
Yep.
Oh, well, this just goes without stating. If leprechauns do crazy wizard magic, you drink.
That'd probably be enough of the drinking for me.
No, right? No. We're not done. If someone uses outdated early 2000 technology, you drink.
Like an old flip phone?
Yeah. Oh, here's one that, geez, this could be put into any fat. If someone's caught saying, boyo! That's what it says. If someone in this movie says boy, and they must say it a lot for it to be part of this, someone says boyo, you drink.
Wow.
If something is green that doesn't need to be, trees and plants don't count, you drink. I mean, who's to determine that? Look at that car. That car is not supposed to be green.
Right. That tablecloth could have been meant to be green.
My grandma knitted that.
I love those mittens.
Oh, here's Kyle again. If Kyle says the word sports without specifying the actual sport he's referring to, you drink.
Yay, sports.
Yeah, like people that you can see in the crowd sometime, like holding up signs, sports. I'm gonna go off just because we're talking about sports real quick. I got a funny story to tell. My sister-in-law, she, until she met my brother, never probably, watched too many sports. My brother, he's really heavy into sports. I mean, he refs just about every sport there is. And they were watching a football game the one day, and my sister-in-law came into the room. You know, she wanted to get on the action. Everyone seemed to be having a good time. And she looked up at the TV, and she turned to my brother and said, "What does D-gate mean?" Now, what do you think?
Nice.
What is D-gate? No, my brother, not D-gate. It's defense.
It's the opposite of an offense.
Yeah, D-gate. That's got to be good. We still say it to her this day.
We all
get a kick out of it.
That's classic and endearing. I love that.
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to know, what's D-gate? If you suspect something might be offensive to actual Irish people, you drink. And then there's two here.
I forgot we were playing this game still.
Well, then there's two where they're going to step it up a notch. You take a shot. If someone gives Cleveland a shout out, they're like the city Cleveland.
Yo, Cleveland!
Yo! You do a shot. And then if someone says the luck of the Irish, you do a shot.
That's got to be said a couple times.
Somebody, please, if you're going to stay in tomorrow night, get this movie. And let us know how this drinking game went. Rewind a little bit. Write down what the rules were for this drinking game. And let us know how it turned out. Because that sounds hysterical. We'll bring you into the studio. And we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Talk about that game. And if you and your boys or a bunch of girlfriends want to get together and play that game. You know what? And video it. And we'll put some snippets up.
Oh, yeah.
We'll play the video
right in the studio on the big screen.
Absolutely. I think that's a great idea. So if we have any volunteers out there that would graciously like to rent the Disney movie from the year 2000 called The Luck of the Irish and play the drinking game, we're gonna take care of you.
Feel free to post any drinking pictures.
Oh, absolutely. Up. When you're out tomorrow or whatever you're doing, take some pictures and post them up on Subtle Beast Facebook page. And we're going to give you a shout out, and we'll pick our top 5 or 10 and
yeah,
send out a prize or something.
Absolutely.
I'm down with that. So, yeah, I'm liking it.
So, would you like to know what your odds are of finding a four-leaf clover?
Yes.
1 in 10,000.
Whoa. So they're not that.
Dude, I thought that I can remember in my life finding a four-leaf clover.
I thought that I did.
Maybe I didn't. Seems like that's not very good odds.
I was reading something earlier tonight that I don't know if it's president or prime minister of Ireland, that every year there was a tradition where he would give I think it was a whole bowl of four-leaf clovers to the president of the United States as a gift on St. Patrick's Day. And that immediately after this exchange took place, that the Secret Service destroyed the whole bowl. It's just like, it's from one president to another. Why would you do that? You think he's trying to kill him? I mean, come on. And they did it every year. It's just like, all right, thanks for the bowl. Secret Service. Destroy it.
Thank you very much. I'll be handing it to this guy. He'll make sure it's safe.
Exactly.
Safely destroyed.
Yeah. You got anything else as far as...
I got this one more thing. It's something you hear out there all the time.
All right.
It's you can't even attend a St. Patrick's Day without hearing the cry, Erin go brah!
Erin go brah, yes.
Which is a phrase, it's a corruption of the Irish Erin go brah, which means roughly Ireland forever.
I love that. And I can remember Old Navy. The store Old Navy, they always do a great... bunch of t-shirts for St. Patrick's Day, and my mom would always go out and get them for us celebrating, and I remember having an Erin go brah shirt with
nice
big clover on it. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I like St. Patrick's Day.
I like Irish folks in general.
I do too. I think they're amazing. So I think that's pretty much our podcast on St. Patrick's Day for the night. Or for this week. And
I hope everybody enjoys it.
Yeah, I hope everybody enjoyed the podcast. You know, on a serious note, if you are going out tomorrow, have as much fun as you possibly can, but definitely be safe. Look out for one another, stay together, and just live it up. But be responsible, and don't drink and drive, and let's have some fun, and keep in touch with us, and let us know what you all were up to, and all the fun that you got into.
Well said.
So, well, until the next podcast, I'm Foltz,
and I'm Steve.
Take care of one another. Bye-bye.